Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Miss Lisa. Choir, congregation, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, we all have people in our family. We love them dearly, but they're a little bit, they do some strange things sometimes, y'all. And so we put up with it. Other people, like, go crazy over what they're doing, but we just say, well, that's my cousin. That's my sister, that's my brother, that's my child, you know. We just kind of accept it. I'm always have this fear that when I come up here, and I take pretty good records, but that I'm going to preach a sermon that I preached last week. So if I ever do that, you say, well, that's the preacher, you know. Anyway, maybe God wanted us to hear it twice. This morning, I want to talk about what God has in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, if you're able to, would you stand as we read God's word? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now," here's the key verse, "he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. Before we get into the main text, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, I want to just backtrack just a little bit and look at those verses just to hit a little highlight of what we just read, verses 1 through 4 as well. In verse 1, as you saw there, Paul reminds us that we're like dwellers in a tent. And unlike the children, I guarantee you that all of you have stayed in a tent before, haven't you? And sometimes it's been a great experience and sometimes it's been rough. Because it can be. They're so fragile. They blow over. They tear. They leak. And so on. And our tent is being gradually, our body, who we are down here on this earthly, temporary earth and temporary bodies are being gradually worn down just like a tent, gradually dissolved. Now, I would say the average person ignores this, the fact. Average person doesn't consider himself a tent. The average person, if you want to put it in a biblical term, considers himself a building. And you see, God delineates, we're a tent, but he has a building for us prepared one day, which means he has a home for us. He has a mansion prepared for us in heaven. And so right now, we don't get the building. We're the tent. And so, but I believe the average person probably says, they put so much stock in themselves, in this world, they're acting like this is a building. But it's not. It's just a tent, God says to us. We live, the average person lives and plans as if he and the world were eternal, and we know it's not. Notice in verse 1 says, "If our tent is destroyed, then we then have a building, which is eternal." It's in heaven. God's waiting for those who love him and trust him. God has made for us, made us for this tent, obviously. We have this tent. He's given us his body. And he has also made us for a building, which is in heaven. It's God's plan for us that the tent man should be shaping the eternal building. Our tent should be focused in such a way that we're thinking about and we're living our life for that building one day that we're going to live in. For the world to come, we should be growing more and more into the principles and the idea of the eternal world. Because this tent, as you and I know, is going to fail. We're going to go to the hospital. We're going to go here and there. It's going to fail. It's failing as we get older. We see that more and more. And so Paul is addressing the tent issue, you could say, in the first part of chapter 5. And the building, the future building matter that's awaiting us, reminding us not to be too worldly down here, not to get too caught up in this world, because we're just like a tent. We're fleeting. We're wearing down. We're dissolving. And then in verse 5, he begins to share another great promise. Not only will we have a great building one day that's awaiting us, but a tremendous verse out of verse 5. Look what he says. Out of God's guarantee, verse 5, he talks about, and I think too, when he talks about the tent, obviously the tabernacle is also another word for a tent. As they move that tabernacle around in the wilderness, and you think about it, all of that, God connects the Old and the New Testament when he talks. He's not just throwing stuff out there. It's always connected because God's perfect and holy in what he says and what he does. And so he's helping the Jews understand that as well. Obviously, this is Paul writing to the church. But still, there were Jews. And so there's the key verse again. It is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Tremendous verse. So if you're, many things in life are not guaranteed. If we're healthy today, tomorrow we may not be. If we have a job today, tomorrow we may not have one. If we made money in the stock market, tomorrow may not be the case. You know, Social Security may be gone, may already be gone. And many, many other things down here on this world, in this life that we have to deal with. And so when we get even if we get a guarantee from a salesman, then usually it's not really a full guarantee. It has contingencies or clauses with it. Nothing, someone has said for many years, you probably said it too, nothing is certain except death and taxes, right? Is that what they say? But you and I know for half of America, they don't even pay taxes. And many of these are young and healthy. And so, I read a letter recently that was written to the IRS. Here's what it said. It said, "Dear sirs, last year when I filled my taxes, I deliberately misrepresented my income. I can't sleep. So enclosed is a check for $150. If I still can't sleep, I will gladly send you the rest." All right. So let's go into, let me give you two simple truths this morning. Number one, about God's guarantee. God has done something, more than something really, to guarantee our future. There's something called in verse 5, you know, at the end of the text, it says, what is to come? What is to come? God's done something. Sometimes we get so caught up down here, we forget about this guarantee for our future. We act like this is the only place. We act like it's eternal. And sometimes we forget to tell our children and grandchildren or remind them that it's not eternal. God has done something for our future. Because he says there, what is to come? It stands for all the promises of the future, all of God's promises of eternal life, the reality of heaven, the resurrection of the dead, and so on. When Jesus comes again and all the other promises God made. Something is coming for us as a believer, brothers and sisters, and God guarantees it. There are only a few things we can bank on, but we can surely bank on this. God is so certain that he placed and we see it there, some translations say, a deposit that guarantees what is to come. You know what a deposit is. It's more than a pledge. of good intentions. It's more than that. It's a legally binding commitment. You put a deposit down on a car. You put a deposit down on a home. You are saying, I'm going to pay for this until it's paid. You get zero down for a car. You get zero down for a home, I guess. Maybe you're not as committed, but you put a deposit down, you're guaranteeing, essentially, that you're going to, it's going to be more than good intentions. It's a pledge. The Holy Spirit is God's deposit that He's given you and I. He's placed within us when we first believed. Guaranteeing He's going to finish everything He said He's going to finish. And by giving us the Holy Spirit, God has made a down payment, you could say, on our salvation. That it's complete, that it's going to be complete. Obviously, we're fallible, we're sinful from Adam, but God is doing a work in us, and He is going to complete it because He keeps His promises. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a deposit, to let you and I know that He's going to fulfill whatever He says, even though it may not seem like it. When we're struggling, when it's difficult, when things aren't going the way we would prefer them to go. So the whole point of a deposit is in the future, lies in the future. Again, we make a deposit precisely because we intend to keep making payments. Think of the Holy Spirit as God's investment in you. He's making payments because He's going to do what He said for the future. God is so determined to take you to heaven with Him that He gives you the Holy Spirit when you trust Him to begin the process at the moment of conversion to show you that He's serious about you enough to follow it through, to carry it on. We tend to want to give up, and it's difficult. I have guys at work sometimes that are loading boxes in trailers, and they're just ready to give up. We don't have to worry about giving up with God. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, a down payment, to let us know that He's going to fulfill everything He says, and we shouldn't have to worry about this temporary life at all. Regardless of how good things are going, regardless of how bad things are going, because it's still temporary. You know, we tend to think of the Christian life as one thing and going to heaven as another. But Paul reminds us that they are together. He joins them together. He says, God who has made us for this very purpose. What purpose is it? The divine purpose Christ began when you first trusted Him. Beautiful verse, Romans 8:29, sums that up. For those God foreknew, He knew you before you were even born, He predestined you to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. He knew you. He's working in you to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God has done something to guarantee our future. And that leads me to my second point. The guarantee is only. The beautiful thing about God, it's only a down payment. There's much, much more to come. Think about all the blessings that we already are given because God has given us this guarantor, this great paraclete, the great comforter, His Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have the intercession. The Bible says He prays for us when we don't even know what to pray. He fills that in. We have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When you and I need comforting on a death of a loved one, or we're struggling, or we're depressed, and we know that nobody else can comfort us, but God can comfort us through the Holy Spirit, we have guidance. We have the security of a believer that we know that we're saved. We don't have to worry about, am I saved today and lost tomorrow? We have that security. We have full rights as children of God. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the power of the Spirit. We have the hope of the Spirit. And we have so much, much more. And as good as all of these are, it's only the down payment. Isn't that beautiful? We don't deserve it, but it's our God. It's the first fruits of what God will yet do for us. And for those who know the Lord, it only gets better. The sweeter it grows, the more you know Him. But there's more. Much, much more. Joseph Lathrop wrote about the earnest of the Spirit, the deposit, what God gives us, a down payment. And he used these words to make the point. He says, it appears from these passages talking about 2 Corinthians 5, that the earnest of the Spirit are some kind of evidence which the Holy Spirit gives believers of their title to a happy immortality. Obviously, this life is not a happy life at times, but dear friend, brothers and sisters, again, we have something awaiting that's going to be joy forever and ever. Holy joy and righteousness. Every struggle fought in Jesus' name leads us to higher ground. Every battle over sin purifies our soul so that heaven will not seem foreign to us. There's a very familiar gospel song that you've sung a thousand times. And it's called Blessed Assurance. It begins this way. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. It's only just a little taste of glory divine. And this second line purposely captures what I'm trying to portray. In Jesus, we've only received the appetizer. By getting the Holy Spirit, we've only received the first part of the meal. We still have the full course. We still have the dessert. We still have whatever else God has in store for you and I forever and ever. God wasted nothing to prepare you and I for heaven. He has it ready. He's given us a building one day. We may live in this old stinking, rotten, torn down half the time, temporary tent, but one day we got a building waiting for us. Amen? God's deposit of the Holy Spirit should give us hope at all times, even at the moment of death. Does God take care of His children? Absolutely. Sure He does. Does He keep His promises? Yes, He does. Will He one day make us fully into the image of Christ? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is only the first installment of our salvation. His presence in your life guarantees that the blessing you receive today are but a foretaste of what God will one day reveal in you. Christian, God always finishes what He starts. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in a world filled with broken promises, it's good to know that You are a God who finishes what You start. Thank You for the beautiful Holy Spirit, who is the incredible, fabulous deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.